and welcome to a new edition of Mercenary Musings Radio featuring mining analyst and commodities expert, the mercenary geologist, Mickey Folt. We are your most trusted source for in-depth analysis and commentary on commodities, mining, and the junior resource sector. And joining us from Mercenary Musings World Headquarters in Albuquerque, New Mexico, is the mercenary geologist himself, Mickey Folt. Mickey, how you doing?
I'm doing well, Rob.
Okay, well, last time out, Mickey, it was just at the start of the baseball playoffs, I believe. Now we have progressed to the World Series. It is the Houston Astros against the LA Dodgers. Who are you taking in this one?
Well, number one, I'm just happy the Cubs are gone, yep. And I'm happy the Yankees are gone. Yeah, I'm going to root for the Astros. Basically because they've never done it before. Right. And also Carlos Beltran, who's had a 20-year major league career, 40 years old now, and he's never won a ring. So a favorite player of mine from his days with the Cardinals.
Well, we're going to be taking a look at gold for this program. Mickey, we began the year with a focus on bullion back in early January, and at that time, gold was sitting at $1,152 an ounce. Right now, we're sitting at about $1,286, so a pretty good ride higher for bullion. I don't think you can argue about that, but it like everything else, it hasn't been a totally smooth ride.
Well, it hasn't. It's kind of gone up in fits and starts, but it's pretty strong chart for the year. If you look at it starting in early January to the present time, it keeps making higher highs and higher lows. So that's a positive chart. My math indicates we're up about around 12% for the year. So that's a pretty good start for gold.
Yeah, pretty good start. And, you know, I hear a lot of commentary about people talking about where gold may go from here. And they're kind of looking at the equity market right now at record high prices and at the same time, record low volatility in the stock market. Is that really, that's not really a recipe for further attraction for gold, though, is it?
Well, I think the controlling factor for gold this year overwhelmingly has been the U.S. dollar, DXY. So if you track the performance of gold and the dollar, see a lot of correlation on that. So, you know, the things that control the macroeconomics of gold have been much the same as the U.S. dollar. Interest rates go up and the dollar goes down. Rumor of interest rates being increased will increase the dollar, but if you look at the dollar index this year, it's gone from the early part of the year at 103 to about 93 right now. So that's a 10% loss for the U.S. dollar.
Right. We've had, what, two interest rate hikes, I believe, this year by the U.S. Federal Reserve. The FOMC meeting again in December. Right now, I think the betting is that the Fed will hike again. But I don't think this is a slam dunk because that inflation picture out there right now is pretty tame, isn't it?
Well, it is, Rob. And if memory serves, the first increase this year, year over year, let's say, the first increase was in December. Then there was a second increase. But bear in mind, these are 0.25% increases. And with inflation around 2%, I think it's equivocal if they'll raise rates here in December.
Yeah, and consider how low that floor is, too. 0.25 hikes, and they're basically coming from nowhere. So.
Well, they have to. I mean, so much debt, you can't raise the interest rate to historical levels because then your interest rate on your debt swamps the economy again.
Mm-hmm. What about the fact, well, I'm going to stay on with the U.S. Federal Reserve because we're talking about interest rates. Janet Yellen likely will not be back as chair of the Fed. I think U.S. President Donald Trump will be appointing 5 members of the FOMC. So we're going to see a Donald Trump Fed, I guess you could say. Does that have much impact at all on the discussion that we're having right now, do you think?
Well, I think it depends on who he appoints. I think it's pretty much consensus. It's not going to be Yellen, but the rumor is he's going to put somebody in there, maybe promote somebody within the Fed right now, or somebody new and with more dovish views. You know, Trump has come out time and time again saying he wants a weaker dollar, and that makes a lot of sense because that improves the trade balance deficit that we continue to run in this country. Mm-hmm. It's all about America first, and from that point of view, that would be positive for gold.
Yeah, he wants a weaker dollar. Could you see the Fed cutting rates then again next year, maybe?
Oh, I don't think they're going to cut rates, but maybe they just don't raise rates. So I'm focused on gold right now, Rob, on short-term trading opportunities, okay, if you will. Mm-hmm. Or that's something I've been looking at recently. And it's pretty compelling, you know, from we do these trading day composites over long periods of time. And the one that's probably pretty pertinent right now is since 2002, when we first started a bull market for gold. And of course, it's operated in fits and starts. But if you bought gold on June 1 on a typical year and traded it at the end of the year, sold it on January, into the first part of the next year, January 31st, you make 9% on your money on average.
Jeez, if you could do that every year, you're laughing.
Well, the historical record for the last, 16 years would indicate that'd be pretty good trade. Now, you're not going to win every year, mm-hmm, but if you look at the gold price this year, the trade would have occurred during the summer doldrums. So if you bought gold on July 7th and sold it on September 8th, you make pretty good money on your dollar right there. But if you look out from that summer doldrums period into January 31st every year, a gold trade is pretty compelling.
Yeah, and we have the world's biggest consumer of gold, India, coming up. You know, wedding season, I guess, is not all that far off in 2018. And that usually is a factor in the final quarter of a year, is it not, for giving gold a bit of a lift higher?
Well, it is, and I think you actually meant 2017. We're getting old here, Rob, but let's not jump years. They get pretty valuable at this stage of your life. And your point's well taken there, but I've been reading some stuff where the Indian festival wedding season, which is right upon us as we speak, gold demand's down about 15% in India. Hmm. But that's a geopolitical situation because India has put a 3% tax on gold imports. So what are people doing? They're going to the black market for gold. Arguably fascist president of India has really topsy-turvy turned their currency and gold market upside down over the last year. So I'm not sure that we can count on that. What I've been seeing that affects gold is directly the U.S. dollar, if we look at, and a lot of it's got to do with the Trump effect, too. The month before Trump came in October of last year, October of 2016, the correlation of gold and the U.S. dollar, which is negative, a negative correlation, it's usually very strong, was negative 0.17. There was no correlation. If you look at the day that Trump was elected to January 20th, the day Trump was inaugurated, that correlation coefficient was minus 0.86, which is very, very strong, with one being perfect. Year to date, minus 0.61. That's significant. A negative 0.6 correlation is a significant one. But if we look at September, the month of September only, that correlation coefficient jumped to negative 0.72. So I think it's really, till the end of the year, a lot about the U.S. dollar and a lot about what Trump does.
That plays nicely into what I'm just thinking, Mickey, because maybe a lot of what happens in terms of moving the dollar from here will depend on whether or not Trump makes much progress in his tax reform.
Well, that's certainly true, and that's what's driving the U.S. stock markets higher, is this idea that we're going to have a budget now, for the first time, a budget that's actually passed Congress
Right.
without some shenanigans, a real
Yep.
budget and real tax reform. And that's certainly good for the U.S. economy, especially for small business. Reducing the corporate tax on small business is going to cause the U.S. economy to grow significantly. So once again, it's all about Trump. We're going to come up with a musing here, hopefully on the anniversary of Trump's election. The target date's November 8th. We may or may not meet that because I'm pretty busy in the interim. But it's going to be called Trump Dollars and Gold, and we're going to show how these things move based on Trump's shenanigans in the White House as the Trump world turns.
Oh man, shenanigans in the White House. You know what? There's never been a dull moment, Mickey, since he's been elected, that's for sure. I
Well,
wanted
the media certainly doesn't think so, and I
No.
wish they would just focus on both sides
Of the aisle.
of the equation. It's not even an aisle. It's the far left mainstream media and the far right Fox News media. But it's all about Trump and rumor and innuendo and what Trump tweeted today. And we all just wish they could get back to what's really important with the country, and that's growing this
That's
economy.
right. Most of our conversation has been shorter term, taking a little bit of a longer term view, Mickey, in researching, doing some research for this interview. Came across a story that talks about gold output in Australia, which, as you know, is the world's second largest producer, may peak in just a few years, 2021. And then after that, we could see some aging mines close down. Any thoughts on that?
Well, we've been talking about this for a couple of years, 3 years or so now. People keep predicting this peak in world production of gold, and so far it hadn't occurred. It may occur this year, but at some point the piper will have to be paid, if you will, because of lack of exploration during the bear market for gold, which ran from the peak in 2011 to arguably the end of 2015, and perhaps if you take into account the downturn last year, the end of 2016, lots of projects were not exp were put on the shelf, not much exploration, not much dollars. So eventually we will see a decline in annual gold production.
Well, nice way to wrap it up, perhaps, Mickey, unless you had something else to add.
Well, we usually wrap this up by talking about opportunities in the junior resource sector. Last time we talked about gold, I think I mentioned that I was looking at new companies and new opportunities. And before we came on today, I took a look, and in the last year, less than a year, plus or minus a year, let's say, I've gone into six new gold companies with private placements, both in the private and soon to be public venue. And the opportunities for new companies exploring new projects or revitalized project is where the junior resource sector is very attractive to me right now. And once again, that goes back to Trump. I'm doing stuff in the good old US of A, and I'm seeing projects and new companies come along that are compelling. And a lot of that has to do with the fact that you can get things permitted quickly without delays in the US now.
Right.
So I'm very bullish on that going forward.
Okay, and you know what? If you're investing at home, whether it's in the US or Canada, a lot less political risk and geopolitical concerns to be worried about as well when you're doing it right in your own backyard.
Yeah, well, I would disagree with Canada. I think Canada is, of all the things I've done, I'm very specific about which provinces I will speculate in Canada. I did one early stage exploration opportunity in the Yukon and one early stage exploration opportunity in Quebec. But I will not touch most of Canada because of in BC, the NDP Green Coalition, which will be anti-development on everything going forward. First Nation issues in Canada, which continue to result in delays and rear their ugly head. And in my opinion, a socialist government in Ottawa that is not pro-development at this point. So sorry to the Canadians, but that's not attracting very many of my dollars at this point.
Okay, well, you still come north every year, Mickey, to the PDAC here in Toronto, and we always have a good time, even though you think I'm ruled by a bunch of socialists.
Well, I would challenge anybody to disagree with my take on rule by a socialistic government. You know, you're only 4 years or so behind us. We had one of those a couple of years ago, and now we've elected a capitalist. You threw out your capitalist and elected a left-leaning socialist. So you'll come around. But that said, all the money still flows through Canada. As you know, Rob, I spend somewhere around 4 months a year north of border, and I quite enjoy my time in Canada.
Okay. I'm glad we got off that political discussion, Mickey, because I was going to wrap it up there anyway, no matter what you said, because that was a topic over a beer, not over Skype, thousands of miles away. So.
Okay,
let's wrap it up there, and we'll talk to you in about a month.
All right, thanks a lot.
That's Mickey Fulp, the mercenary geologist. You can find him on the web at mercenarygeologist.com. You can also hear Mickey's latest opinion exclusively on mercenarygeologist.fm and kitco.com. I'm Robert Graham at Mercenary Musings Radio. Thanks for listening.